Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches, and that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is funded by listeners like you. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about the program, please go to our website at thefinalwordradio.com. There you'll find archives so you can listen to any program you may have missed. Visit us on Facebook at The Final Word Radio and write us a note. We love hearing from our listeners. We'll provide other contact information at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. And now, Jim Andrews continues his study of God's Word.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on The Final Word. We continue today with our study in the book of Proverbs. We have finished our verse-by-verse exposition, but I have a few thematic studies, two or three of which I want to share with you. They pull together under one heading some of the Proverbs. You've heard these things expounded individually, but what we do here is just under one umbrella, teach in a concentrated way what the Proverbs say. This today has to do with the mouth or the tongue. Early on in my life, the Lord had to target that deficit in my character. I grew up in West Virginia, not to imply that everybody in my native state is cut out of the same mold, but it is kind of the habit of West Virginians, hillbillies, to speak their mind, say what they mean, and to mean what they say, and pull no punches. I'll give you an example of that. My father, when I was born, was working in a coal mine and lived in a coal mining camp. And the pastor under whom my father came to Christ was a gentleman by the name of Joe Brown. Well, a widow miner's wife invited Pastor Brown to her home. She was very poor, but that didn't mind to her. She told the preacher when he got there, said, "Now, preacher, all I've got's fatback, and if you're a good man," she said, "it's good enough for you. And if you're not a good man, it's too good for you." Well, that's not exactly out of the Foreign Service Diplomacy School, but that is typical. I grew up in that culture, and it was not just my culture, it was my nature. Something about me early on just hated people being political and talking around issues instead of getting right on it. I just, for some reason, genetically loathed that. But it went to excess in my particular case. I remember when I was in seminary, I came very near getting booted out before my senior year, and it was all because of my sharp tongue. There were things in our seminary culture that I did not like at all. I still don't like, and I was, I believe, absolutely right in the criticisms that I made. However, I didn't make them in the right way. I didn't make them to the right people, and I didn't make them at the right time. And so it got me into some hot water. I was put on notice if I couldn't learn to control my tongue that I would not graduate my fourth year. Well, that was not an immediate cure, but that was my first great big warning. I remember a friend warning me before that happened, "Jim, you're going to have to be careful. You're going to get in trouble talking like that." I said to him, "Skip, I don't care whether I'm liked. All that matters to me is that I'm right." Now, that was foolish, foolish talking. As I grew in Christ, I came to learn the tongue has to be controlled. It has to be restrained and get the use of my tongue more in line with what the Bible and the book of Proverbs teaches in general. So if any of you tend to have a loose and sometimes irresponsible tongue, a tongue that's constantly getting you into trouble, you need to hear this thematic study. First of all, the book of Proverbs teaches us that the mouth is a powerful and vastly underrated broker of outcomes. We learn that also from the book of James, don't we? Proverbs 29, verse 20 says, "Do you see a man who's hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23 says, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles." All of this is telling us that our tongues are powerful, and they're a vastly underrated broker of outcomes. The tongue, friends, possesses extraordinary powers to shape your life. James says that too. To shape your relationships, to dictate your happiness or the lack thereof, to affect your career path, your society, and affect your very survival. In fact, as James says, it acts as a spark that sets on fire the whole course of human nature, human dynamics that build or destroy ourselves and others. You know, we place too much emphasis on less important things and not nearly enough importance on the tongue as a critical success factor in what goes right or wrong in our personal lives and in society in general. Many people just don't get it. They don't know what's wrong in their life. They don't understand what's wrong in their relationships. And somebody needs to tell them, "It's your tongue, dear. It's your tongue." Or, "It's your tongue, mister. Your tongue." From the biblical perspective, the great cue ball on the table of life is the tongue, the cue stick being the heart that drives it. All the action in life starts with the heart, which goes to the mouth. And everything is impelled by the angle at which the tongue strikes the mix. In military metaphor, biblical sages would say, "Control the tongue and you win the war." Not all the battles, but the war. The war is the main thing. Truthful lips, speaking at the right time, and get this, and in the right way, are endowed with almost unrivaled power to affect outcomes for our own good and for others. You see, it's not just simply a matter of being truthful. Always tried to be truthful, but that's not good enough. It's like shooting a gun. It may be right to shoot one, but you got to shoot it at the right time, and you got to shoot it at the right object and under the right circumstances. Otherwise, others can be killed or injured. So truthful lips, I say again, speaking at the right time and in the right way, have almost an unrivaled power to affect outcomes for our own good and for others. Proverbs 25:11-12 says, "Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear." Now, by the same token, unwise words, wrong words, or right words at the wrong time, or spoken in the wrong spirit, or out of wrong motives, can drag consequences in their train that do enormous damage to ourselves and to others. So here are some of the endowments or powers of that little instrument we call the tongue, which has the power to influence all out of proportion to its size. Like a small rudder can set the course of a great seagoing vessel, or a small flame can conflagrate a devastating forest fire, as James tells us in chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. So let's consider what the Proverbs have to say now about the mighty mouth. The mighty mouth has Herculean power to lift or sink the human spirit. Proverbs 16:24, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." I've been doing this radio program for years, and I go to my mailbox or I come to my computer, or I sometimes get phone calls from our listeners. And on the other end, regularly, I hear encouraging words. They lift my spirit. About the time I began to think that I'm just a dog baying at the moon, a wind blowing in the desert, here comes another call, here comes another note that lifts my spirit and tells me, you know, this is doing some people a lot of good. Stay with it, Jim. Stay with it. It may be tiring, it may be wearing, but it's worthwhile. That's what the mighty mouth can do. It has Herculean power to lift or sink the human spirit. Somebody will say something negative to you. It has a depressing force. It tends to stick with us. Whether it's true or not, it still tends to stick with us. The mighty mouth can make or break your career. That's why we call it the mighty mouth. Proverbs says, "He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious, the king is his friend." In other words, those higher up who can promote or demote, those are your friends. One loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious. Proverbs 18:20 says, "With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips." The key to your livelihood is located other than where most people think it is. What makes more difference than your brains, than your technical knowledge and competence, even your network or connections, is your mouth. Some call it skill in human relations. You know, no personal asset can save us if our mouth is too sour and savage. Well, that's just another way of saying that in the end, folks, people tend to reap what they sow. If our mouth sows thorns and thistles, then that is the crop that will have to sustain us. No artificial life support system can keep us viable for long if our mouth keeps unplugging us socially. When our mouths are always burning bridges, it's no surprise when we find ourselves stranded on a social island with no one to turn to and no one to help. Many say how far you go depends on who you know. Well, there is, of course, some truth to the fact that well-connected people do have a big edge over those who are merely well-endowed. Connections may get us in the door, but a mighty mouth is often the difference between who gets shown the door and who gets invited to dinner. Leaders and kings are always adverse to associates with a serious case of hoof and mouth disease. Thirdly, the mighty mouth can secure or shatter intimate friendships. Proverbs 17:9 says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love." That is, he's fostering loving relationships. But he who repeats a matter, gossiping unnecessarily, separates intimate friends. That's why we call the mouth mighty. It can just bust up intimate relationships. Proverbs 16:27-28 says, "A worthless man digs up evil, while his words are a scorching fire. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends." There's that theme again. Separating intimate friends can just tear you down socially. Fourthly, talking about the power of the mouth, the mighty mouth can build or destroy a culture. The Proverbs say, "By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is torn down." Fifthly, the mighty mouth can mean the difference literally between life and death. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it love to spew the verbiage. Well, they'll eat its fruit. Sometimes a person who's always spouting off says the wrong thing to the wrong person, and they wind up losing their lives. People walking down the street get a little offended at something, fire back with the tongue. Next thing you know, out comes a pistol or a knife, and they're dead. The mighty mouth can calm the waters or create a firestorm. Proverbs 15:11 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh tongue stirs up anger." That's just its nature. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, that is, palatable. Proverbs 15:2. That's why we call it a mighty mouth. It can calm the waters or create a firestorm. Proverbs 16:21b says, "Sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness." It's not always hard logic that wins people over. It's the sweetness of speech that increases persuasiveness. It's the tone. And Proverbs 16:23 adds, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips." Sometimes it's the charm, it's the sweetness, not the cold logic that carries the day. Another thing we need to know about a mean mouth, not a mighty mouth, but a mean mouth, is that it makes one a targeted man or woman. Proverbs 6:15 says, "A worthless person, a wicked man, is one who walks with a false mouth. a lying, deceitful mouth, who spreads strife, who's always out there spreading gossip and dividing people. Something people do with the mouth or the pen, which is functionally the same, they spread strife. Therefore, his calamity will come suddenly, and instantly he will be broken, and there will be no healing, Proverbs 6:15. All of that, 6:12 down to 6:15, tells us that a mean mouth will make one a marked man. Proverbs 6:16 through 19 tells us there are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven, which are an abomination to him. That artificial parallelism, six and then seven. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. A mean mouth, I say again, makes one a marked man, and in this case marked by God. Puts a bullseye on one's back, and an arrow of God's judgment will eventually pierce it and bring him down. Proverbs 12:13 says, an evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. And Proverbs 10:32b says, but the perverted mouth shall be cut out, sooner or later, in the course of life. That'll probably catch up with him. Proverbs 17:20b, he who is perverted in his language falls into evil. I say again, a mean mouth makes one a marked man. Proverbs 8, Solomon says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate, says the Lord. A person with a malicious mouth, a toxic tongue, is a surefire candidate for God's hit list. Our tongues can make us a target of His holy indignation, not just the target of other human beings. Whenever we knowingly engage, for example, in slander and character assassination of the innocent, and some people knowingly do that, some who profess to be Christians knowingly do that, I've experienced that. And probably most pastors have. Whether we initiate it or act as willful conduits of the same, the Proverbs warn us that we make ourselves targets of the wrath of God. And you don't want to be there. Among all the sins that God especially abominates, the sins that rank high on God's hate list, few rank higher than a mouth turned loose with hurtful intent on the innocent, or with selfish intent used as a wedge, whether the information is true or just half true or totally false, with the intent to separate friends, to create disharmony, to shatter the peace and sow discord among God's people. A mean mouth, I say again, makes one a marked man. A marked man in the sight of God, and often a marked man in the sight of other human beings. You know, of all the things we can do to put ourselves on the bad side of a holy God, this form of sin ranks right up there. This kind of sin, a mean, malicious mouth, can attract, as it were, divine lightning and bring disaster thundering down upon our lives. Some people don't get it. They get in a business situation or a neighborhood situation or in a church situation. And of course, being a pastor, I see it a lot, have seen it throughout my ministry in a church situation where people who profess to be Christians, of course, many of them aren't. Some of them are erring Christians who will have to deal with the chastening of God. But of course, many are just professing or make-believe Christians. They may carry a big Bible and make a lot of loud professions. But at the end of the day, they really are like Pharisees and don't know the Lord. But they get bent out of shape over some issue, and they will go to work to lie, to slander. They will take a half-truth and make it into the whole truth, and the truth that's not told would change the whole picture, or they'll just completely make up a lie and run out and tell people so as to divide and to separate. They seem to think there's no accountability. They operate like functional atheists. And you think what an offense that is to God. It's as though the Lord sees us and He says, they talk about me, but they act as if I'm not even there. I don't even exist. as if I don't even see, as if I don't even hear. Can you imagine the holy indignation that attends that? I've never understood that. I've never understood how people could live in the presence of a holy God and just do things like that and act like the Lord is completely oblivious to what they're doing. I would be afraid that the roof would fall in on me. And someday it probably will, and I have seen that very thing, in fact, happen more than once where the Lord deals with that kind of issue. I've often said to people in situations like that what David said, "The Lord judge between me and you." And that is a scary thing when somebody just punts and says, "Your mouth has been very mean to me," or maybe it's not just your mouth, you're mean in other ways too, malicious in other ways. "But I'm punting. I'm putting this in the hands of God, and let Him judge between me and you." That is really scary. So folks, I'm telling you, a mean mouth makes one a marked man. And if you have been guilty of consorting with that kind of tongue, wielding it like a sword or a rapier, and cutting and slicing up people and dicing them simply because you're mad or you're angry at something, and you want to get even, you want to bring them down, you want to get your pound of flesh, you just remember that you're setting yourself up for awful chastening if you know the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord, which many who do these things in churches don't, if you don't know the Lord will settle with you when Christ comes. Now, since we've been talking about a mean mouth making one a marked man according to the teaching of Proverbs, and how a mean mouth often takes the shape of a slanderer or a strife monger, we should differentiate between the two. What we call slander is passing along untruths or half-truths about another person with the intent to injure them or their reputations or both, or with reckless disregard for the consequences to them. Strife mongering is similar to slander, except that the person who sows strife and discord may actually tell the truth. But here again, it's a mean mouth, even though they told the truth, but they tell it with destructive intent. Either they just like to see the fur fly, and there are people like that. They're just like voyeurs at a fire. They just love to see a building burn. I've always noticed they hate to see the firemen, whether it's the leaders of the organization or whatever, be successful in their strategies to put the fire out, put it down. They love to see a building burn. So a person may tell the truth, but with destructive intent, because maybe they just like to see the fur fly, or they aim to maim, or both. Either way, their self-interest is self-interest or self-satisfaction in some way, and they have no compunction whatever about using lies or innuendo or half-truth, or even the truth itself, to drive a wedge of distrust and suspicion between familiar friends. It may be driven by jealousy and envy or revenge or sheer hate, but whatever, its intent is division and combustion. And whenever we employ our tongue in such ways as to put wind in the sails of slander or use them with strife-mongering intent, we are seriously on the wrong side of God, and we need to be careful. Well, friends, our time is up. God bless you and have a wonderful day. We will come back to what remains of this theme in our next study.
The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about this program, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is info@thefinalwordradio.com. And our phone number is 503-699-9840. If this program is ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this outreach.